at times, J.D. Loudermilk. He just passed on this past weekend at the age of 82. He wrote Tobacco Road by the Nashville Teens. He wrote Indian Reservation by, nine or ten artists did Indian Reservation. I remember it by the Raiders. It sucked, their version, you know. Cherokee people. Remember that? He wrote that thing, Norman. He was a really, obviously, very... this cat grew up on Tobacco Road, J.D. Loudermilk. He grew up in North Carolina, very, very poor. So that song is the closest thing to a biographical sketch. But he's very, very typical of a tunesmith, a cat that just, in order to eat, literally, in order to have something to eat, he wrote music, he wrote songs, and he wrote every kind of song. He wrote country songs. He wrote that thing, Norman, believe it or not, that charted country and polka. When's that happened? Well, probably it happens quite a bit because there's a little bit of crossover, some of the like ranchero sort of country music, you know. But wrote folk songs. I mean, Jack, he wrote novelty songs. You know, you have to look up J.D. Loudermilk. He wrote a shit potload of songs, man. You know, and I used to get him mixed up with, you know, Loudon Wainwright. Because for some reason the names were similar to me. They're obviously not, but I put the three-syllable thing confused me. I don't know what it was. Maybe I'm just a simple-minded motherfucker when it comes to shit like that, but... So there you have Norman by Sue Thompson. Norman, ooh! And I know you'll be singing it for the rest of your lives. Now, here's something I wanted to do today. Wait a second, man. I gotta stop that. Yes, Phil, this is something I want to do. This is, yeah, the spirit in the sky, Norman Greenbaum.
Norman Greenbaum.
Norman Greenbaum. Have some respect for the Jewish faith. This was really, I had so many mind-changing experiences to this. When I die and they lay me to rest, I'm gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky.
I hope it's soon.
Turn it off. Turn this shit down. Turn this fags.
All right.
Testing 1, 2.
The fuck? The voice. Oh. The voice.
I gotta tap a kidney, as we say, in the beeswaxness. So tell you what we'll do. While I'm tapping this kidney, let's listen to another Norman Great. Where is it? Let's listen to another J.D. Loudermilk song. Where is it, man? I'll be right back. Just gotta, like I said, tap a kidney, man. Come on, motherfuckers. Wait a minute. What a weekend. Hope you had a good weekend. We had a good weekend. God, man, I'm losing it here. So, where are we at? Where are we at? What are we doing? I just found a dead lizard in the hallway out there. Now, the studio here is ground floor, hot as fuck in the summer. And sometimes we leave the door open to get a little bit of cross ventilation. And I think a lizard came in and just fucking died in here. Found it in the hallway. I was just like, it doesn't look like the cats got to it. Okay. Today's show, we are expecting to have Ted Bell to talk about the debate tomorrow night. And by the way, we're going to have, as you know, General Shaw.
Yes. R.C. Collins tonight. R.C.?
Well, yeah, we'll be here. And now, I know that a lot of people think you sound like me, R.C. You know, sort of do when I first come on, yeah.
So you've got to remember to pump the personality of this kid, Phil.
Yes.
Yeah. Emphasis on the word pump.
Wow. Tobacco Road.
Guys, watch any football yesterday? Or today? Today's Sunday. I'm doing show today.
That fucking Redskin game. Sheesh. How do you go to sleep at night if you're a fucking New York Giant, let alone being a New York Giant fan? That fucking sucks. That's gotta blow ape. Goddamn, who's that woman in the Dallas box they were showing? Are they in Chicago or they're in Dallas?
Dodgers.
Dodgers are pounding ass. San Diego's beating San Francisco. By the time you guys see this, we'll know whether the Dodgers clinched the National League West, which, you know, that's a big thing for Dodger Blue fans like me. I ain't saying you got to love the Dodgers. I ain't even saying the Dodgers are going to win. I don't even think they're going to get to the fucking World Series. You want my honest opinion? Everybody's thinks this is the year for the Cubbies. And I got to tell you, that's something we got to do, by the way. Let me just think of this. Hold on. The debate, Margaret. Sing the spirit of the sky. And Norman. And then finally, Cubs. The futility of the Cubs, man. So I was saying to Lauren this weekend, because I would say Lauren's a pretty good sports fan. For, you know, when you have a woman in your life, it's always kind of hit and miss whether they're into sports or not. I think I've gotten fortunate with Lauren. She puts up with a lot of, she likes to watch a lot of it. She likes watching soccer. She tolerates football, I think. But I was telling her about this history of futility of these teams, and she's aware of it. She thought it was very funny, the number of years that the Boston Red Sox went and the Cubs. I said, I'm sadistic that way too. I think it's funny. And not that I want Cub fans to suffer or Red Sox fans to suffer, but it's just, you know, come on. It's just sort of an interesting thing to watch. How many more fucking years can these guys go without winning a goddamn World Series? Now, the Cubs haven't even been in a World Series since 1945. Haven't won a World Series since 1908. And they'd won two in a row that year. Their second in a row in 1908. Won in 1907, 1908. Beat the Tigers, I think. And I'm sure they thought at that time that they were putting together a nice little dynasty. Who knows? It was very, very early years of interleague play and World Series and everything. World Series only started in, what, 1901? So I'm sure they thought, well, you know, we'll just go along down through the century here and win our fair share. Nope. They won a lot of pennants. And then the pennants dried up in 45. So they won two World Series in a row, but then after that, they won National League titles, couldn't win. National League title, couldn't win. National League title, 1945, National League title, couldn't win. And then that was it. For the next 50, 60, now 70 years. 70 fucking years, no, you know, pennants for the Chicago Cubbies. So now here they are with, and you know, this guy, Joe Maddon, is just tremendous. He's something special as a manager, I'll tell you that. He came up from Tampa Bay and got his hands on this ball club, and they get the best record in baseball right now. And I'm not really as I say, I probably don't follow baseball near as closely as I do football. Although I'm getting back into baseball now. I'm starting to sort of enjoy the game again. Is that Brian Bosworth? Oh, these fucking commercials are just cracking me. That's Bo Jackson and Brian Bosworth. Those dudes are the same generation, aren't they? Bo Jackson, Brian Bosworth. Wasn't it like the 80s, early, mid to late 80s, something like that? There was a funny-ass commercial. Bo Jackson played baseball and football, and there was a commercial that, some kind of a sponsorship that Bo Jackson signed, and in this commercial, They show him playing baseball. They show him running with a football. And then they show him digging a puck out of the, you know, like along the boards, playing hockey. And then they flash to Wayne Gretzky, who's looking at the camera going, no, like that. And I think it was for a battery. I think it was for that goddamn Energizer battery. I'm not sure. But it was pretty funny. Well, sort of funny. This poor kid, Jose Fernandez of the Miami Marlins, Jesus. You know, this is Sunday night. I haven't really gotten into the news as to what they think happened. So I will just say my opinion is, looking at the boat, it looks like they were speeding. It looks like it was a clear case of they were going at a very high rate of speed. Whether they were speeding or not, whether it was the rate of speed they were going at was illegal. I mean, it is illegal in most locales to drive recklessly, even if there's no speed limit, like on our favorite laughing spot there, Lake of the Ozarks, where that bunch of clowns, you know, where the boat flipped over or almost flipped over. They don't have a speed limit on that lake, but you can still be cited by the lake patrol for reckless, unsafe, you know, operation of your boat. You go, well, how do they determine that? They just goddamn will determine it, you know. No speed limit. You can go as fast as you want. If the conditions are clear, if there's not a fucking other boat within, you know, hundreds of yards, if, you know, you're not anywhere near the shoreline, you're not anywhere near any bathers, there's no chance that your boat, if it loses control, is going to imperil somebody else, then you can do any goddamn speed you want. That's what I'm talking about, you know. Now, I don't know what the conditions were in Miami or wherever these poor guys met their end, but it's possible. Although I've boated in Miami, and I know that they've got very strict speed rules in the Intercoastal Canal because of the manatee, for starters, and wake and all kinds of shit like that. I'm not saying they were anywhere near there. They could have been out in Biscayne Bay, but that I cannot imagine. It has, you know, no speed limit. They've got to have a speed limit at Biscayne Bay. It's pretty big, but there's a lot of boat traffic through there. They might have been out in the ocean, but they looked like that they were up on a jetty or something. I don't know what the boat collided with. I don't know. I'm not an expert, but I've been around boats, and I've been around the water, and I've been around dumbasses. So that's what, I'm trying to just give my 2 cents worth, which, you know, whatever. Trying to come up with an idea for the Cubs' futility here. I mean,
by the way, if you come out to see me on October the 7th, I'm going to be coming out in character doing stand-up comedy in character. That's what I'm going to be doing. You know, so I'm going to be doing like Steve Bozell. I think I'll probably do Margaret. I think I'll do Jay Santos. You know, I'll do
Guy Barton, Kirk Whedon. I wish I had a... I just had a really sick thought. I wonder how can I you know what I can do? Can I get two programs going?
So tonight.
No, I can't. I can't record two things at once. All right, resuming. All right. I don't know how much time we have, but so I'll do that. I think what I'll do is Cubs Futility. That would be Kurt Queedy. Okay. Billy asked me for a date. I told him to go to hell. He can burn in hell with darling Norman.
What the fuck?
He can rot and burn in hell with that dude named Norman. Norman took the keys to my car. Norman made me look like a fool.
Ted's a Beverly.
Let's see, what am I doing here? Sound effects, explosion, phone, airplane.
Norman, ooh, Norman, ooh, har.
Man, I'd rather be, oh boy, being injured in any sport, but, you know, like pro football, you got to stand on the sideline and, you know, do plays and shit. And never mind, I don't know what I'm talking about. All right, do plays.
Norman, woohoo!
So we have Spirit in the Sky. We also have Normhound. Where is Normhound? In the middle of Tobacco Row. I was born in a barn. And that barn was a real shithole.
In the middle of Tobacco Row.
All right, here's what we're going to do. Not even going to fuck around, man. I'm not fucking around. Tired of fucking around, you know? No more fucking around for me, man. No. All right, and then Frank, I think, is going to pop on. Her. What you gonna do about her? We want Wendy. Who's down the streets of the city, eyeing every chick that he sees? Everyone knows it's Wendy. Wait a minute. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. No. Yeah. No. And then. And Wendy has time. Yeah, in the state house.
Well, right, Phil. We're here in the state house.
Yeah, just got done session, Phil.
Here in the state house, here in West Virginia, and I'm very sorry for any misunderstanding that might have occurred. I got the shock of my life when I heard dong, dong, you know.
Testing, 1-2.
The shock of my life, Phil, to hear horribly what I imagined had happened there, and that was the poor boy hung himself when he heard. That's what he heard, that right there.
Yeah, that's the sound of the kid.
What do you mean, that's the sound of the kid?
That's the sound.
That's the boy hanging. He's just swinging from the church, from the bell.
Norman.
Okay, man. Fuck it, man. Hey, man, where the fuck? Here we go again, man. I'm always doing this shit. Here we go again. What is it here, I think? This is it. Last night, I got high expectations. Yeah, that's it. All right, now, the other thing I need is what? Okay, we got Rich Uncles. DraftKings. Lord have mercy. Testing 1-2-3. 1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2. All right, man. Yeah, baby. Oh, you're really hip, aren't you? That's me. Hi, it's Phil Hendry. Hi, it's Phil Hendry. Believe it or not, everything you hear on the show today, all the people that you hear will be all performed by me. Hi, it's Phil Hendry. All of the voices, all of the people that you hear on our podcast today will all be performed by me. There's just me. I'm sitting here in a studio. And that's how it's done. And people like to know. Otherwise, they feel dumb. So.
Yeah. Are you dumb? Oh, you're really, you're making me feel dumb. I'll tell you that. Go ahead. Now, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is General Galen Shaw.
And I'm Margaret Gray.
Baby, great Bud Dickman.
Fight. I'm Robin Leonard. Here's Phil Hendry.
Thank you.
All of those voices you just heard, all performed by me.
We know that, Phil. Thank you.
I like to rub it in a little bit. Margaret really, really flips your lid, doesn't it? Really tightens your perm a little bit, huh?
I'm sorry?
Never mind.
Got a general stumbled around a little bit there.
I'm not stumbling. The only thing I stumble on will be your body in the dark after I dispatch you to the nether reaches. Oh, yeah.
All right, thank you. Phil Henry Show. Thank you, Fetty. Welcome.
Who's Fetty, anyway?
That's music he's playing.
Oh.
Yeah. So, let's see. Today, there's a lot of... First of all, General, tell us about tonight.
Tonight is myself and R.C. Collins, and I think he's going to be on the phone here in a little bit.
Got R.C. on the phone?
Yeah, you might as well call him up.
Let's get R.C. because he's part of this... so-called debate coverage. I can't wait to hear this. I've heard the two of you on your films, which is bad enough as it is.
What do you mean bad? Look, I get parked in a studio to watch a bad movie with this nut, this kid.
All right, but I think it'll be fun to listen to you guys commenting, you know, on the debate.
Well, I'll do the best I can. I hope he holds up his end, if you'll pardon the expression.
Yeah, that's tonight. And that's the debate.
Yeah, it's the Clinton-Trump debate. And it will be live here on the Phil Henry Show. There will be a live stream of General Galen Shaw and R.C. Collins commenting on the debate. So that is going to be...
That's definitely going to be one for the books.
And so that's happening tonight. We also are going to be talking with Ted Bell about what's going on at Ted's of Beverly Hills tonight, right? Because he's got some...
Hold on. Are you all right?
Yeah, Phil, what is going on with you?
I haven't been on the... we haven't done a show... In a week, because last week, and let me just state for the record how wonderfully grateful we all are for the, you know, just the condolences and the sympathy sent by everybody in our audience for the passing of my brother, Dara. We're appreciative of that.
Yes, well, but I'm saying that doesn't mean you forgot how to do a show, right?
No, it doesn't mean I forgot how to do a show. I'm just,
it's a little fresh. It's a little new. It's a little fresh.
Yeah. Maybe a little nude.
A little new.
Oh. Well, anyway, myself and R.C. Collins...
All right, we already got to that part, General. Thank you.
Oh, we're moving on now.
Yes, we're moving on. We're talking about Ted Bell. Yes, Ted is at wherever...
Ted Bell's?
Yes, he's at Ted Bell's, and he'll be on to talk a little bit about what's going on there tonight. I'm going to be singing Spirit in the Sky, because, as you know, Frank has booked me into...
Man, booked you into some toilets.
I wouldn't say they're toilets.
Well, that's what you said on Twitter last night.
I saw you were complaining about some of these clubs that Frank has booked you into.
I don't like a lot of these dockside dumps that he... I don't mind the clubs that he books me into per se. But when he books me into these dockside toilets... Do you understand what I mean by a dockside toilet?
I guess you're talking about Pedro.
San Pedro?
Yes, San Pedro, but anything that's dockside... with tattoo parlors and slobs, who are, yes, attractive, because...
Well, Miss Gray...
But don't do it, because I will drop you where you stand. Yes, the men at these dockside filthy holes are attractive to me because of the...
Their manliness.
I'm not even going to get into it. You guys will turn this... You'll turn it into a filthy, dirty stag...
A what?
A filthy, dirty stag booby.
You're talking about your attraction.
It's not an attraction, Phil.
Well, that's what you were saying, Margaret.
Yeah, you said the rough, tough guys.
The oily, filthy, dirty clowns that hang in these bars are oddly attractive, yes. But the point is, I don't like singing in those dumps.
Why not?
Why not? Oh, my. Because it stinks like a sewer. Everything.
Well, why is Frank putting you into these places?
Frank is doing this. These are favors. For these people. Do you understand? He knows every guy that owns every crap can bar. From Pedro to San Francisco to San Diego. And he does them all favors by booking me in there. And having me sing for my supper. Just, I feel like Claire Trevor in Key Largo.
Oh, Claire Trevor. But what'd she do?
Claire Trevor was the girlfriend of the gangster, Johnny Rocco.
Yes, and he forced her to sing when she couldn't sing. She needed a drink. She badly needed a drink. And this dirty, filthy, this gangster played by Edward G. Cagney,
Edward G. Robinson.
Edward G. Robinson forced her to sing.
Just so she could get her.
Slow down. What is he trying to do?
What are you saying, bud?
So she could get her wetter whistle.
getter wetter whistle.
Trying to say wetter whistle?
Yes, I'm saying.
Then say it, you gloid.
All right, no more gloid talk, okay?
Wait, Phil, it is very, very traumatic for me.
Right, we're going to hear Margaret singing, but you have some songs you want to sing, right?
Well, look, I'm not going to do my act here, if that's what you're talking about.
No, you have that Spirit in the Sky.
Yes, I do want to do Spirit in the Sky because it's a very spiritually meaningful song for me. And yes, I will be rolling it out this coming weekend at Alvin's Dockside. That's Alvin's Dockside in San Pedro.
All right, so that's that, and that's where that's at. So I thought what we would do right now here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show is get on over to our good friend Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills to find out what's up over there, man.
Of Beverly Hills.
Ted,
Yeah, well, you know, Phil, let me tell you this. We have a fantastic, fantastic setup here tonight. You know, the debate is going to be on. We're going to be serving some of the miniature chickens. We've got a lot of everything here at Teddy Beverly Hills, and we want everybody who wants to watch the debate to come on down here. Now, I know a lot of people, Phil, are going to be watching the debate and listening to General Shaw, and that's fine.
Are you going to be running it down there?
Well, is there a problem with that, Phil?
No, there's no problem.
All right. So you don't mind if I have, because it is a subscription service.
No, I'm not going to get that crazy about that. No, if you want to show it there, that sounds fine. I mean, it's basically taking an internet feed and putting it up on the big screen. Can you do that?
Hey, Joe, let me get to... Hey, Joe, can we do that? Do what? Can we put the internet on the big screen? The internet. You know, the picture of the internet? Hold on, Phil.
Hey, Phil, it's Rudy. Hey, Phil, it's Rudy.
Rudy, how you doing? I got to talk to Ted.
I know, but he's talking to Toe now. Hey, Toe,
what?
Can you put it up there?
Can you put the picture up on the screen? What do you mean?
Can you put up the picture? This guy's a dumbass.
Hey, let me ask you.
All right, so anyway, we're going to have a good time here tonight.
All right, so is there any kind of a coverage? There's no cover charge or anything.
No. Just come in to it. Ted of Beverly Hills tonight. To watch the debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and the miniature chicken. We have the miniature drumstick, miniature chicken wing. We also are now, Ted,
you don't know how to put it on the internet up on the big screen.
He's still talking to this dumbass.
Well, what is it that you guys need to know? Maybe we can, Bud, you want to talk to them?
Yeah, what do you need to know?
It's nothing that you've, Bud, believe me, I respect you, but the last time you tried to tell us how to do something, we lost every TV in the place.
Dad, you probably did it wrong.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
I got the one. I mean the Bud.
Yeah.
Bud, what are you trying to do?
I'm trying to get the picture from the internet up onto the big screen. The Toe is, What are you doing, man?
But if you want, I can show the guy how to do it.
You got to go there to do it, right?
Well, I mean, I can tell him on the phone.
All right, talk to this guy. This is R.C. Collins, Joe. Talk to the guy.
I'll call on the back line.
He's calling you on the back line.
The back line?
The back line.
Oh, the back. Okay. My office. My office, through that door, you dumbass.
Yeah, it's a
lot of nerves, huh?
Thanks. I'm not done.
Anyway, Phil, it's nice to talk to you. Yeah, come on in tonight to the Prime Rib Room.
What are you doing? I'm talking to the guy. I'm telling him about the Prime Rib Room special with the miniature chicken. I just wanted to tell him.
Phil, as Ted's of Beverly Hills, one of the leading cutting-edge restaurants in America, a place where you are going to get something that no place else in America can serve to you. As you know, our miniature chicken has taken off. These are chickens that are only about 2 to 3 inches tall and about 3 inches, you know, they're just small chickens. Now we introduce the Ted's of Beverly Hills midget sandwich, I should call it the midget chicken sandwich, or the miniature chicken sandwich, the spiced miniature chicken. So it has one little piece of I'm sorry, I dropped that.
Hey, what I do?
Go into the office and wait. Is this guy calling?
Bud, what are you doing?
Bud, I'm going to call a guy.
Then go call him.
Oh.
So what we have is the miniature chicken sandwich, and it has one little tiny piece of a jalapeno pepper, two pieces of bread. We just took the bread and just took two little crumbs of it, and we squeezed the chicken in between that. We are going to have hundreds of thousands of those sandwiches out for everybody tonight here at 10 Beverly Hills in anticipation for this big, big debate. I'm sure you can hear in the background the sounds of children. You know, this is we have our lunch special going on. There are children here tonight. No children. No children allowed in our bar, although they are here today. Yeah, this is a bunch of kids are in.
No, I understand that.
Ted, this is Margaret. The miniature chicken, you said that you're taking two crumbs of bread. I don't understand that. So they're not...
No, they're not slices of bread.
And why not?
Because they're too small. The chicken itself is only about 2 inches long. Where am I going to find a loaf of bread, you know, that's 2 inches... I don't know.
Well, it seems to me that it would be something you could begin to market as in, you know, making a miniature loaf of bread, you know?
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea.
I don't know. It sounds pretty far out to me.
Well, you know, it's worth a stab, son, because if you've got a little tiny chicken and you've got nothing but a crumb, you might as well call it the crumb chicken. You could call it the Ted Bell crumb chicken special.
Hey, that's not bad. I don't like the idea of using the word crumb anywhere near me, but I do like the idea of the crumb. Well, that's fantastic. The crumb miniature special, huh? Where is everybody?
Nothing. Hold on. How did we lose the ball game? How did we lose the St. Louis game?
What are you doing over there?
Wait a minute. We just had a ball game that was on. Cardinals and Cubs. How'd that happen?
I think probably someone hit the button, bud. You?
No, I'm trying to talk to this guy.
You're not talking to Toe?
Not yet, no.
Well, does he pick the phone up?
It's ringing and ringing.
Hey, Toe.
Yeah?
Answer the phone, man.
Oh.
Oh, man. So, everybody's welcome to come down here to 10th of Beverly Hills, even though this spot that we're doing on Phil's show right now, it leaves me in less than a flattering light. and I'm sure you understand what with all of the commotion and the, you know, and everything like that.
Now, this is, Ted, I was going to ask you, this is a very big debate. It's probably one of the biggest presidential debates. Some people are saying it's the biggest presidential debate since the Lincoln-Douglas debates.
Well, what does that mean? Are you trying to tell me that since the Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that not in terms of the quality of the people, but that it's pivotal. It's that historic.
I don't know. I mean, I would tell you this. If you're going to watch this debate anywhere, you must watch it at Ted's of Beverly Hills Prime Rib Lounge. As I said, the Prime Rib Room has the miniature chicken sandwich with the teeny tiny pieces of bread and a little tiny jalapeno pepper. I don't know how else to describe it.
So it's a miniature chicken sandwich.
A miniature chicken sandwich, but I want people to know what's on it. It's miniature mayonnaise, not miniature mayonnaise, but a little dab of mayonnaise. You barely, to be honest with you, it's more of a novelty than it is anything that's going to fill you up. You'd have to eat a couple of hundred of these to even dent your hunger.
Well, then why would I want to eat anything like that?
I don't know. Why don't you ask yourself that? I mean...
Ted, you know, I want to promote your business, but I'm trying to figure out why I would want to eat, or anyone would want to eat, a miniature chicken sandwich.
The miniature chicken sandwich? First of all, the miniature chicken has taken off like wildfire. People are coming in here from all over the world. I've had people in here from Thailand. I've had people coming in here from India asking about the miniature chick. And I'll say, that's what they call it, too, the min chick. And I'll say, what is that? And they'll say, this is what we call it in India, the min chick. And I'll say, well, you've got this little tiny...
Wait, the min chick.
Yeah, the min chick or the miniature chick, teeny chick, chick go lightly. All of these are terms that are used by people around the world for the new Ted Bell miniature chicken. And all I'm saying is we have turned it into a miniature chicken sandwich. Now, you ask me, well, what's on it? I'm telling you, a little tiny dab of mayonnaise, a little pea. What am I supposed to put on it, you know?
I didn't ask you what's on it, but you volunteered the information.
Well, of course you're going to ask me. Somebody there did.
I might have asked you what was on it. So it's got a little piece of pepper. All right, that's fine. You know, I don't...
Come on in, try the miniature chicken. It's fantastic.
How much is a miniature chicken sandwich?
What is the miniature chicken going for?
What?
What's the miniature chicken going... Sorry, Phil. And I got it. $3.95
for some...
Hey, Caballero, don't start crapping all over my menu right here on the air. This is a paid...
Look, Ted, I don't mean to do that, but $3.95 for something that's 2 inches long?
Yeah, well, isn't that what your wife pays you every night? Oh!
What a dick.
Well, I mean...
That not only was that uncalled for, it wasn't funny... There's a lot of things that was and is wrong with that.
That was and is? Well, okay. Welcome to Amos and Andy.
All right, that's enough of that.
You know, I don't have to sit still for this. You guys are taking something that's very important, which is this debate between Hillary Clinton, who could very well become the very first female president in the history of this country, and Donald Trump, who is a private citizen, has no actual political experience. He's coming from the private sector, so this is a very historic a moment, and for the two of you to be sitting and going back and forth and making jokes like this really upsets me.
Wait, what joke am I making?
Well, you're talking about, you know, $3.95, you know, for my miniature. And
you're the guy that made that tie-in.
I don't know who did it, but you both are getting it.
All right, I'd like to take charge of this right now, if you don't mind. No more of these comments, please, gentlemen, about $3.95 for your miniature.
Well, look, it was, as I've often said, Phil, he left the opening, so I grabbed it.
All right. Ted Bell there at Ted's of Beverly Hills tonight, and they will be in the prime rib room, which is where many of the sporting events are shown. Great many things happen there in the prime rib room. It is their lounge. And you have the debate tonight between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, and General Galen Shaw and R.C. Collins' commentary will be on the big screen.
Yeah, they'll be on the big screen, Phil, as soon as we get R.C. and I don't know if he's back there.
R.C.?
Yeah, I talked to Toe.
Yeah, what did he say?
He figured out how to do it.
Well, I don't see him anywhere around here. Hey.
Yeah, there he's right there. Hey, Toe. Are you going to do a... Put it up?
What? The picture on it! Oh, I'm going to kill...
Hold on. Wait.
I'm going to kill it.
Wait. Phil, wait.
Don't you call him back?
Call him back for what?
Why would you call me? Did you figure it out or not? Then go do it.
Can't put your hands on the guy's throat, though, you know.
Hey, when I ask the guy to... Please don't tell me how to do it.
Anyway, Phil, people are welcome here tonight. What time does the debate? It's 6 p.m., right?
Yeah, 6 p.m. Pacific. For the big debate, and as I said, we've got miniature chicken.
Well, what else do you have besides miniature chicken?
Oh, well, I'm so sorry, General. Is that not good enough for you? Oh, man. You know, I'm here. Did you hear this guy?
He's not saying what else besides the miniature chicken you have to eat. Tell us the other amenities.
We've got a fully stocked bar here. And if truth be told, around, you know, 6 o'clock at night on a good night, some pretty nice-looking women come walking in here, too, if you don't mind me saying.
All right, well, that's fine. Just what else do you have to eat, though?
What else do we have to eat? This is what I'm talking about, Phil.
Well, what else do you have to eat? If you're on our show and you want to promote it...
We have hot dogs. What do we got? Hey, Rudy?
We have a fully stocked sports bar. We got the miniature Frank. Everything we have is miniature-sized because that was... So we have little tiny hot dogs. We have small BLTs. We have...
Yeah, so everything you have is tiny.
You going to make a joke about that, too?
No, I just want to know...
Wait, hold on. We've got the small... We got cocktail Franks, cocktail sausage... miniature chicken. We've got the teeny weeny. What are the teeny weenies?
The teeny weenie is a small mug of beer.
We call it the teeny weenie.
How much is that?
Oh, look at this. Are you going to start pissing about the price?
I just want to know how much is it.
I don't know. How much is the teeny weenie?
First of all, before you say that, how many ounces of beer is it?
About an ounce.
It's 1 ounce of beer.
We got a buck and a half for the teeny weenie.
A buck and a half for an ounce of beer?
People are paying it, Phil. Do you understand? Supply and demand.
It's a novelty. It's a novelty thing, Phil. You know.
Well, I don't know how many sales of these teeny weenies do you make?
Wouldn't you like to know, okay? Because the way you put that, I don't even want to talk about it now. It sickens me.
Why not?
I don't like the way he said, how many sales of your teeny weenie do you make?
I didn't say your teeny weenie. I said, how many sales of the teeny weenie?
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
I think that's the most juvenile and asinine name for something, and you're inviting all kinds of comment when you name something that like that.
What?
You're inviting... Never mind.
No, we're doing what we can with what we got, And we certainly do hope that people come down to Ted's of Beverly Hills, Phil. It's, you know where Ted's of Beverly Hills is located. It's in Beverly Hills. It's on, what street are we on? We're on Rodeo. No, we're not. We're on Dayton. And come on by to Ted. No, we're not. We're on Bedford. And come on. No, we're not. We're on.
Where are you, man?
We're on Bedford. I'm sorry. Come down here to Ted's of Beverly Hills tonight for the big, 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 and I mean huge, enormous, and ever-growing debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Ted's of Beverly Hills. Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills, California. Yeah. What the hell is that, man? Come on down to Ted's Beverly Hills tonight here for the Hillary Clinton-Donald Trump debate. Starts at 6 o'clock with General Galen Shaw and R.C. Collins calling all the action.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
All right. What a mental midget situation that was, sports fans. Okay, we'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Coming up, we've got Kurt Quitty and Guy Barton, I know that. They're going to be talking about the Chicago Cubs season that is going. Margaret's going to sing for us as well. World famous Phil Henry Show. Blazin' Games, for all your sporting needs. At Blazin' Games, tennis rackets are only $5.99. You can get tennis shoes for $5.99, baseball bats $5.99, and baseball mitts $5.99. If you want big tennis rackets, big tennis nets, if you want the big tennis net, you want the oversized raccoon, do you want the raccoon net? $5.99. Yes, the oversized raccoon net, the tennis net, as well as the badminton net, and now it's called Pocket Pool. You won't believe it until you see it. Pocket Pool, yes, it's real. You see a guy walking down the street stiff-legged with his hands really jammed in there. Pocket Pool! At Planigan's. What's the name of this place? Come on in. Only $5.99. Wismer's. Wismer's Steaks. Everybody, Arnold Palmer is dead at 87. Oh, my God. Arnold Palmer has died at 87. Just jumping in to tell you that Arnold Palmer has passed on, General.
Oh, boy, look at that. Arnie is gone at 87.
Arnold Palmer, age 87, probably the first, I would say the first superstar in golf.
Well, you know something? We should get Frank on the phone for this one.
About to call Mom, Miss Mary?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because Frank would probably have a few opinions on who the superstars were in the golfing world. Frank, hello?
Yeah.
Frank, we just got word that Arnold Palmer has died.
Holy Christ, you're kidding.
Nope. The great Arnold Palmer.
Yeah.
And we were talking here. Margaret was asking about superstar. I said I thought that he was probably the first superstar in golf.
I don't know what Margaret is referring to, but he may be thinking of Byron Nelson.
Who's the man, Snead?
Oh, Sam Snead, yeah. She was a remarkable golfer in every way, shape. And then you had Bill Byron Nelson, Gene Sarazen, Bobby Jones. But I think Phil is probably right to say that Arnold Palmer was the first superstar because she was a big golfer at a time when television started to come around. So you saw her every week on television, and
you know, Frank, I'm going to let you go, okay?
What the hell are you?
What's wrong?
I don't. You know, we're talking about Arnold Palmer. I don't want him on with the she and the he.
I've got to explain that to him tonight.
But just tell him he's just going he she.
Yeah. What are you going to get with it and tell this guy?
I tell him he doesn't know what I'm talking about. The doctors have said don't confront him with it because it just further confuses him, and he thinks people are lying to him.
All right. Well, I don't want him commenting with the
Phil, you know, he knows an awful lot about golf.
He may know a lot about golf, but I don't want to hear him commenting with he and she and just so anyway, Arnold Palmer has passed on. We thought we'd jump in and tell you that, folks. World famous Phil Henry Show will be right back.
Go away while we're still at home.
World famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. We'll be right back.
Hi, Tony Tangetti. Have you wanted to learn how to play banjo? Just haven't had the guts to ask somebody to teach you? I'm one of the top banjo lesson teacher people. I'm one of the top banjo coaches in America. Tony Tangetti's Banjo How-To. You can get my booklet. You can watch my video. You can listen to my DVD. You can listen to my book on tape. But you need to get in touch with me. You must get in touch with me if you have any interest whatsoever in the banjo. Because when it comes to banjo, there's only one guy, me, Tony Tangetti.
Tony Tangetti's Banjo, Banjo and now Banjo Am. Banjo is Tony Tangetti, the Banjo Man.
I'm the Banjo Man. I'll give you the banjo lesson you've always thought you deserved, but weren't quite sure where to go to get it.
Tony Tangetti, the banjo lesson you always felt you deserved.
Just call me up, ask for the Banjo Man, and I'll say you got him. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. God, it is a little disorienting, you know.
Well, we've been off the air for a long time because of the passing of Phil's brother. And now all of this news.
Now, like, Arnold Palmer's a big golfer, huh?
Yeah, he was. You guys don't know who he is, right?
Well, I've heard about Arnold Palmer from a lot of people.
Yeah, Arnold Palmer was one of the best, huh, General?
Arnold Palmer was in the 1950s and the early 60s was really when he held sway. He won the Masters, won the U.S. Open. He won them all, won the British Open. And he had that funny-looking golfing, the putting stroke.
Yeah, he putted with his knees together because I guess it helped him to, stabilize himself. But he had, Arnold Palmer had admittedly, I think he would say, that he had a really weird-looking swing, right?
Well, yeah, his swing was the worst. I mean, he finished way out. You know, he's supposed to finish with the club head behind you. He'd finish with the club head sticking out in the, you know...
Sticking out where?
Sticking out in the air someplace. You know, he just...
Well, Bob, what kind of a swing is that?
It ain't a very good one.
Yeah, one thing about golf is not a baseball swing. You know how baseball swings are all wrists and... golfing is... like the whole body.
Yeah, you've got to keep your head down, you know.
Yeah, I heard a guy say, "Look up and see a bad shot."
What does that mean? Look up and see a bad shot.
If you don't keep your eye on the ball.
Well, what if you look up because that's where the ball is?
Oh, come on, Margaret. Don't make me lose my mind. All right.
I'm just asking very valid questions.
Anyway, Arnold Palmer, 87 years of age, is gone, but not. Not forgotten. And I had the chance to see him play right here in Ventura County at the Senior Open.
Oh, that was the one in Ojai, right?
Up in Ojai, there was a Senior Open here, one of the senior, what they used to call the Senior Tour, now it's called the Champions Tour. And that was back when I was with KVEN here locally in Ventura. It was 1990, 91 maybe. And the Senior tournament came to Ventura, and I went up to the Ojai Inn, and I saw him. I saw Reeves McBee. I saw Chichi Rodriguez.
Who's Chichi Rodriguez?
He's a golfer, man.
He's a very famous golfer.
Chichi Rodriguez is a guy who used to, he'd sink a putt, and then he'd dance around like he was one of the Three Musketeers.
Yeah, he used his club as like a sword.
What?
What's that mean?
What I'm saying is he put it on for the crowd. It was a bit of showmanship. When he sunk a putt, he would then use his putter like it was a sword and then kind of put it in an imaginary sheath, like he just conquered the enemy, which was that hole.
He conquered the enemy, which was that hole. You know something?
Margaret, who's got the filthy mind now?
Well, when you walk right up to the edge, Phil, and you look over and you're asking someone, do you see what I see? I'm going to say, yes, I do.
Well, Margaret, that's not exactly what we were talking about. And I think Phil's got a very good point. Your mind is full of filth. You swim.
My mind is not full of filth.
Well, then why are you talking about, you know...
I didn't say it. I'm listening to what you're saying about Chichi Rodriguez, and he's putting it in the sheath.
Yeah, I gotta agree with that.
All right, so...
Oh, that's it, Phil. Ignore it.
Margaret, grow up, okay?
I am grown up. I'm saying... I know who Chichi Rodriguez is, and I know what he did with the putter. I'm just saying that the way you described it...
Yeah, just forget about it, Mr.
Otherwise, it's going to be dirt.
So we have, very happy that you are the focal point here, Margaret, of this discussion, because you are about to talk and sing and do all kinds of things with us. Margaret Gray is going to be singing because she is on the road beginning this weekend doing her club dates. Let's get back out to Frank Gray, who's at Cheviot Hills. Thank you very much, Frank, for being with us. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we had to move on a little bit quicker with the segment.
Yeah, well, I sometimes I wonder whether or not you're playing with a full deck, Henry. I really, all of a sudden, saying, "Hey, it's Frank Gray," and she's great, and then all of a sudden I hear her go, "Oh, we got to go now," you know.
Well, Frank, things get very busy.
Yeah, I'll bet they get busy.
All right, Frank, let's talk about Margaret's upcoming tour and the club dates that she has.
All right, well, Margaret, I heard what he said, and you know full damn well, Margaret, that the money that comes from the money is good. Now, I am doing favors.
We don't need the money. What I would like are better venues.
Oh, well, excuse me, Your Royal Highness. You'd like, what would you like? Would you like maybe the Hollywood Bowl?
Yes, that wouldn't be bad.
Well, it's not going to happen, honey. Get a load of him, will you? So,
all right, so let's just talk about what we have coming up.
All right. I booked him over here at Alvin's Dockside, which is a perfectly lovely bar. And they have a wonderful bar there, and they serve beer and wine and hard liquor. And there's a tattoo parlor. Yes, I know. There's a tattoo parlor next door. But they had Margaret there last year, and they loved him. And they want him back, and you're going to sing a whole new slate of songs.
Well, I did go on Twitter, and I was mentioning some of the songs that we're going to be doing. I'm going to do Chad.
And what about Go Suck a Fat Man's Ass?
What the hell are you talking about?
Is that drinking song?
It's a very vulgar drinking song, and no, I'm not going to do it.
You're not going to do it?
No, I am not going to do it.
God. Now I got to start all over again.
Hey, Frank, is this something that we would rather do in private?
No, it's just, I got three clubs that want to hear you sing it. It's a great sing-along.
Well, I'm not doing it.
All right, so what about Whispering to Herb?
Yes, I will do Whispering to Herb, and I'm going to do, I'm doing Chad, I'm doing Bob, Always Bob.
Right, Bob, Always Bob. And then conclude it with The Vapors of Nixon.
Yes, that one is, it's kind of a spiritual song.
Right. So he's going to be there, and then the following week, I think he's going to be at the Crab Slab, and then the following week after that...
Where's Crab Slab?
I say?
Where's the Crab Slab?
Who is that, anyway?
Bud Dickman.
Well, why don't you speak up, son?
Who's the Crab Slab?
What do you mean, who's the Crab Slab?
Where is it?
The Crab Slab is in Redondo Beach, I think.
What do you mean, Redondo Beach?
Manrosa Beach. No, I'm so sorry. It is in Hermanhattan.
Better do you in Manhattan?
Manhattan, yeah. You take, all right, Manhattan Beach, yeah. And that's going to be happening a week from Friday, a week from Saturday. Then 2 weeks from Saturday, he'll be at the Palmetto. He'll be at the Pompeii or some goddamn.
It's called the Palm. Burn that mother down.
Burn that mother down. Burn that mother down in Santa Barbara. And it's going to be wonderful, so you should come out and see Margaret Gray. He sings all the good ones. He's got a great voice, and...
And I do it because I like doing it, but again, some of these dumps...
Well, you know, they may be dumps, but they mean well. I understand that he's going to sing one for us right now. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a fucking minute. All right, here we go.
All right, this is one called Spirit in the Sky.
Wait till you hear him do it.
I like this song because it reminds me of my spiritual awakening as a teenage girl of 14.
Yeah, he was about 14 when it came out, weren't you, Margaret?
Yes. Yes, I was.
Am I bothering you with my talking?
Yes, you are.
All right.
When I die and they lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going
up to the spirit in the sky. It's where I'm gonna go when I die. He dies when I die and they lay me to rest. I'm gonna go to the place that's the best. I love the lyrics because they're raw spiritual lyrics, aren't they?
Yeah, that's what they are.
Woo! Great guitar player, Norman Greenbaum. Prepare yourself, you know it's a must. You're gonna have a friend in Jesus. You know that when you die, he's gonna recommend you to the spirit in the sky. He'll recommend you to the spirit in the sky.
What is this shit that he's singing anyway?
How dare you?
Well, what is this, God?
Hold on for a minute.
Hey, no, turn it off. Turn that shit.
Wait, Frank. You're going to the place that's the best.
Yeah, you're going to the place that's the best. The best place for you right now, Margaret, I would say, is bed. Hot liquids and bed. I'm telling you.
Oh, here's the guitar break.
Yeah, this is where Norman Greenbaum broke his guitar. Which, by the way, I say Norman Greenbaum broke her. This is where Norman Greenbaum broke her guitar. And I say Greenbaum. I don't say Greenbaum.
That's nice. What an ass, you know, Frank?
Oh, give me a break.
I've never been a sinner. I've never sinned. I got a friend in Jesus. So you know that when I die, he's gonna set me up with the spirit in the sky.
What does that mean? This is the biggest load of horse dung.
You know what? Turn the garbage off. Thank you very much. I cannot do this, Frank, with you talking like that.
Those lyrics are the worst pieces of turd that I've ever heard a human being have to render in my life, in my existence on this planet. And you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I'm Frank Gray.
Wait, you're not going anywhere. What do you mean I ought to be ashamed of myself?
That you're going to be doing a song like that. First of all, Norman Greenbaum, you can well imagine, is Jewish, and there he is sucking up to Jesus. That ain't no good. No good at all. And
all right, Frank, thanks a lot.
Well, can I get...
This is why I do it.
Why you do what?
Why?
It sounded like you had a slip there, Margaret.
Why you do what?
This is why I cut him off all the time. We get into some of the most delicate areas of weirdness that I can possibly imagine. All right, folks, we're going to be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Stand there and watch me.
We got Kurt Quitty and Guy Barton to give us a little news from West Virginia. Apparently, the Cubs' futility was something that Kurt and Guy used to taunt one of the pages there at the West Virginia State Legislature.
Getting in a legislature building, and then the kid,
he almost killed himself. Oh, my God.
I can't tell you what it really is. I can only tell you what it feels like. And right now, it's a steal.
World-famous Phil Henry Show Backstage Pass for 1 year or 1 month is your access to our website, all 20,000-plus hours, as well as all these little special events we do, like tonight. We have the debate commentary.
Here, I'll do it. We have the debate commentary with General Galen Shaw and R.C. Collins, and that's happening tonight at 6 o'clock. And you've got to be there. You must be there.
And to be there, all you have to do is purchase a subscription to the world-famous Phil Henry Show website. And as I said, you can get it for a month, you can get it for a year, and you get all kinds of content, because we're all about content here. We're about all the audio, we're about all the video, we're about all of the TV pilots we've done. We've got home movies, we have interviews that we've done, and it amounts to tens of thousands of hours, and it'll take you months to get through it. And that's if you didn't eat or go to the bathroom, just listen to it straight. It would still take you about 8 months.
8 months? I thought it was six.
Well, I'm figuring it's 8 months now, because the last time we mentioned that, it was six, so...
Yeah, probably it's expanded. Yeah, it's expanded, all right.
All right, so go to the Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com, that's philhenryshow.com, and pick up a subscription to our website, and when you do, you'll be able to check out tonight's debate with the running commentary, the streaming commentary from General Galen Shaw.
That's me and R.C. Collins.
And R.C. Collins, those of you who are not familiar with R.C., Check him out tonight. He's a, well, this kid is, he predates you, doesn't he, bud?
No, I've been here. What do you mean he predates me? I've been here since the very beginning.
All right. Oh yeah. RC is, was with us since we got to LA, at least. And he's gone through his changes. Just got out of Bradley Military Academy. Who's he working for now?
I think he's like, he was working for Steve Bozell.
No, he's not working for Bozell anymore. I think he's freelancing a little bit right now. But I do know that he is doing this with General. Do you know General?
I wouldn't know what he's doing, and I don't want to know. I do know that his old man's loaded, so he doesn't have to worry about a thing.
Nice life if he can get it. Anyway, that's tonight at 6 o'clock here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show website, the Trump-Clinton debate with General Galen Shaw and R.C. Collins. Check it out. Well, we have from the West Virginia State House, Kurt Quady, Guy Barton, and we'll be talking to them now about, this is a very, very scary moment in your lives. You were giving a young page there a hard time about the Cubs.
Phil, this is Kurt.
Kurt's going to kick it off, don't you?
Yeah, it's a young man by Terry Caswell. Terry is a page, a messenger here at the West Virginia State House, and a big-time Chicago Cubs fan. And as you know, Phil, the Cubs have not been in a World Series since 1945, and they have not won a World Series since 1908. And Terry, a young man, only 19, 20 years of age, you'd figure this kid would have better things to do than worry about that, huh?
Let me say, Phil, he's a young man, 19, 20 years of age, you figure he had better things to do than worry about Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, so this young man is saying, oh, man, I hope the Cubs win this year. It's been a long, long time. So I thought I had a pretty good idea. I went over to a guy here, and I said, look, tell you what to do. Why don't we let him tell him, you know what, look like the Cubs ain't going to do it because, like, you know, Joe Madden had a heart attack or something like that, you know?
I think tell him that Joe Madden had a heart attack, and he's dead.
Why would you do that?
Hold on, Margaret, now.
Now, Margaret, give us a break here, okay? It's a very innocent gag. It doesn't mean anything.
That is not an innocent gag to tell someone that someone has died.
It's a little rough, guys.
Phil, I knew that. I told Curtis that of all the people that understand it'd be Phil Hendry, but you try and don't it.
Well, look at when you tell people that someone's dead.
We said he had a heart attack. I don't know if he said he died, did
he? We might have said he died, but right away we said we were kidding. But before we could tell him emphatically that we were kidding, he turned, he started to cry, and he ran. And we saw him sprint across Eucalyptus Avenue here. He went down, turned the corner over to the Pivey Church right here at the corner of Pivey Park and Eucalyptus. And we saw him climb the stairs. And then I heard something I hope and pray to God Almighty. I never hear again. I heard the bells ringing, and we have a tape of it because the police officers who are covering said, well, we've got the tape recording of this if you want to hear this. Now,
what is this?
This is the sound of this kid going up to the top of the bell tower in a church, and was so despondent that he tied a rope around the bells.
And hung himself.
What? I don't believe you.
We have the proof right here. If you get, where's that tape?
Okay. He's got it. Here you go. Now, you'll hear this. Let me show you me.
What is that?
That's the kid swinging from the bell.
Yeah, soon we told the kid it was a gag, and he ran down the street, and he's just swinging back and forth. You know.
Wait a minute, man. Hey, where is that fucking thing at, man? I had a crowd. I'm going to take a lot of fucking editing on this piece of shit, I'll tell you that. Yeah.
That is and I take it by the way that you gentlemen are talking, the young man did not kill himself.
Well, now, why'd you say that?
Because you guys, it sounds...
And that young man was dead.
No, we thought he was... Actually, no, we're only kidding about that. It's just that I had this bell sound effect that I heard, and...
We are very, very sorry for that, ladies and gentlemen.
But what just happened there?
These clowns that you know, are these guys you know?
Yes, I've known them, and they've been on the show for a long time.
Dad, they said that a kid committed suicide because they told him that the Cubs wasn't going to go to the World Series because the manager had a heart attack, and the kid went up and tied a rope around a bell and hung himself from it and was swinging back and forth.
And it turns out it's horseshit.
Yes, so I heard. But I'm asking you, you didn't know any of this?
No, man. Didn't know it.
I think you're lying to me, Phil.
I didn't know it. All I knew is, what did they tell you, bud?
They said that they went to the kid and they said, as a joke, that the manager of the Cubs had a heart attack and died, and they would not be going to World Series, and the kid ran down the street, swung a rope around the bells, and then, you know...
All right. Thank you very much. And you know, I'll tell you something else. If I... Yeah?
Look, Phil, you got to have a sense of humor about these things, son. You can't just up and run away. You can't up and run away from a man and tell him that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. For whom the bell tolls, Phil.
It tolls for thee.
Get out of here.
Tolls, it tolls for thee.
Well, no, it doesn't toll for thee.
Well, it tolls for me.
But not thee.
Oh, she's pointing at you, Phil.
Yeah, I know.
I'll take over here. World famous Phil Henry Show is executive. Are you going to be all right?
I'm fine. I can't believe that. The kid's swinging from a bell.
World famous Phil. Well, if you think of it in context, it's pretty funny.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. Thank you!
Phil, it is a hell of your own making. It is a bed that you have made. Now you must sleep in it. I'm Margaret Gray. It's a dog that you've laid down with that has fleas. I'm Margaret Gray.
Thank you very much, Margaret.